that's, it's a dance too. This business thing for me has been a dance in general. You know, a lot of people quit before they hit a point of a level of clarity enough to say, here we go. This is the sweet spot, and allowing growth from there. A lot of people quit before that happens.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators, where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. I want to thank you again for joining me for this week's episode, which is another amazing episode. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I just wanted to let you know that I have set up a special page on my website just for you. And if you have questions that you would like me to answer on this podcast, you have some feedback, it's an opportunity for you to engage with me a little bit more than just having me in your ears with my guest. And it's a way for you to ask some questions, maybe about some of the processes that we've talked about, maybe about my own journey, my own art, or just even about the podcasting in general. Whatever it is that you would like to ask, I want to invite you to head on over to mikebrennan.me/question. And on that page, you'll see a form that comes up. Just fill in your name and drop your question in there. And I will even read some questions in some upcoming episodes. If there's enough questions that come on, maybe I'll even do a special Q&A episode. We'll kind of see how that goes. But really, it's up to you. If you've been wondering about something concerning creativity, concerning how to establish a daily creative habit, maybe it's monetizing your creativity, whatever it is, I want to invite you, go to mikebrennan.me/question and drop your name and your question in there. It'll go right to me. And who knows, maybe you'll be on a new episode of Creative Chats soon. Now this week, I have a guest, Shay Bynes. Now Shay, I met at a conference right before the coronavirus lockdown happened. So she's one of the, you know, last faces that I saw personally. And it was a great conference, met her, heard her on stage, and she just gave a powerful presentation, really shared from the heart and challenged everyone. Now, Shay is a storyteller, a passionate storyteller, a teacher, a mentor, and she's an entrepreneur. And she helps other entrepreneurs, actually, too, through her own business, Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. And what I love about Shay is that she's the real deal. You'll hear in our conversation, we laugh a lot. We talk about some of our past interests. So if you're a video game junkie, perhaps the Atari 2600 fans out there, unite. We talk a little bit about that and just how that played a little role in some of the things that in our youth. And we talk about the importance of story and our own stories and sharing the experiences that we've gone through for the sake of other people. And I'm not talking about like airing your dirty laundry. Obviously, we need to use discretion in some of the things that we share. Not everything is meant for public consumption. But there are a lot of things that we experience in our lives that if we're willing to be open and transparent about the process, about our experiences, other people can learn from them. And as you know, I talk about this all the time on the podcast. That's really how I try and do things for myself. I really try to leverage my own experiences from the past to help you and even try to find some redemption in some of the things that you don't quite know what to do with. And some of those things that you struggle with and you're like, man, I just can't seem to move past this. Or this was a point in my story which really seemed like there was a dark season in there. We all have those moments. We all have those seasons. And so the more we can talk about it, the more it normalizes some of that stuff. So we talk a little bit about that, me and Shay, and we just get into really talking about what ideas look like for her, how she fleshes them out. And I know that you're going to smile when you listen to this episode because you just can't help it. Shay is just someone who is a very joyful person, and I'm thankful that I have this conversation with her, and we get into, you know, again, just laughing and some deep stuff. And so all that stuff I know is really going to encourage you on your journey and in your creativity where you are today. So without further ado, here is my creative chat with Shay Bynes. Shay, welcome to the show. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yes, I met you at a conference. You spoke and you just lit up the stage, and I was so excited about you bringing yourself to the stage and delivering content that was so engaging. And the way that you did it, I could just tell that you were being so authentic. And I was like, oh man, I just love her immediately.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So I'm excited that we had that chance to connect at the conference and now again, and just to dive a little deeper into your business and your creativity and your story. So
let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, so I love to ask the question about childhood and how creativity showed up for you as a kid. And maybe this was a creative expression, music or drawing or drama or something like that. Or maybe it was even just a toy or a certain memory you have that's vivid. Is there something like that that you have that you could share with us today?
I have lots of them actually, but the one that came up first when you started talking was when I was in the third grade, I wrote my first book. It was called The Atari Freak because I loved playing video games.
Yes.
And I still have that book. It's like 12 pages long on wide ruled paper, you know, with my illustrations and my whole story. And I even gave myself, I put a little sticker, a little smiley face sticker and gave myself a Newbery Award, you know, for my own book. It was so funny, but I ran into it when I was going through boxes the last time they were removing, and it just made me smile, and I laughed to myself thinking, yeah, actually, I've always been a writer. As long as I can remember, I love to tell stories and I love to hear stories. And so that's definitely been a creative expression since I was a child.
Mm, love that. And love the Atari connection. I too was an Atari freak.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I have, you can't see it on the wall right now, but in my office, I have 4 gold frames. And inside those gold frames, I actually mounted 4 Atari cartridges that I used to play.
Nice.
Because I was like, you know, I'm not going to play them anymore. And they're kind of like dusty. I don't even know if it works anymore. But,
what's one of them? One game.
A Pitfall.
Oh, that was awesome.
And then I've got Donkey Kong. I've got Pac-Man and Asteroids.
Come on, man. Those were some of my favorites.
I know it. You know, it's like those are the ones that, like, you know, we were all into, you know?
That's it.
Yeah. So that's amazing.
That is too funny.
Love that. So this idea of telling stories, even from a younger age, I'm a storyteller too. So I love telling stories. I love finding out people's stories and just seeing how our lives overlap and, you know, can come into this place where we can just learn from each other's stories and experiences. And, you know, that's why I love to do this, you know?
Yeah, it's the best.
About. Yeah.
That's right.
So how did that continue in your life? You know, obviously you didn't stay there in Atari world and writing stories.
Well, I love, so all, growing up, my favorite class often was like English class because I get to write stories. That would be the one class that I could write stories. In fact, I would used to find even opportunities when I was writing in other classes where they weren't really looking for creative writing. And I'd try to find a way to make it fun and creative in my reports. You know, that's just
so
who I was.
Funny.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
It's like, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
That's exactly. Oh my goodness. Like, fun is a core value, right?
Right.
Exactly.
It really is.
Yeah.
It is a core value of mine. So I was doing that as a kid. And then as I got older, I remember when I did my first like vision board of like what I saw in my future. And I wrote that I wanted to write books, but I hadn't written any books other than that third grade book. And I had written a whole bunch of essays and other things, but I had never actually written a book. But I also didn't think I had anything really to write about at the time, but I did put it there. And then years later, I've written like 11, maybe 12 now. And it's just funny to kind of think back to how far back that goes. And then the storytelling goes beyond books. You know, I played around with executive producing films. So, you know, like short films, you know, that just, I've enjoyed doing that to share stories in a visual format, you know? So I just love this. I love the expression of a story, no matter how it shows up. So I use it when I'm speaking on stage. I'm using it when I'm writing books. I'm using it when I'm writing marketing copy. I'm using it for everything that I do because I really believe in the transforming power of a story. So it just shows up everywhere in pretty much every way that I can use it. Storytelling shows up.
Mm, love that. And I love that you mentioned it's different expressions, you know, because sometimes I think we get too tied to, well, I am this, you know, I am a writer, I am a visual artist, I am a, you know, fill in the blank. And that's the only place where we actually exercise that creativity. But
yes,
in essence, really, it should come out in all the things that we do because it's tied to who we are as a person.
And that's right.
Everything that we touch, everything that has our fingerprints on it. You know?
Yeah. Like in my bio, the first thing it says is a passionate storyteller. When I introduce myself, a lot of times I introduce myself with that first, because you better believe if you're having a conversation with me, if I have the opportunity, you're going to hear a story. Mm. So I love that aspect of it, no matter how it shows up.
Yeah. What were the stories that spoke to you growing up that stoked that fire?
I was such an avid reader, and I liked so many different types of books. There's not like a particular genre of book that stands out to me, because I was so diverse in my reading as a kid. I'm way less diverse in my reading now just because of time, but, but really I can't even think of one that comes to mind. Actually, that's not true. I used to read like Beverly Cleary and Judy Blume. I mm-hmm. like the stories, you know, like Beverly Cleary and Judy Blume were probably some of my favorite authors as a young apart, like, you know, I would say in fourth, fifth grade, I'd say they were some of my favorites.
Nice. Yeah.
So whatever they were writing, I had it.
Yeah. You get that like little scholastic thing in school.
Yes.
Like, I want these books.
That's right. Yeah. You get all the books. You do all the book fairs, you know. And some of them are smart. They had so many different volumes. So there's so many books. So I'd just be ready for like the next one, you know. Yep.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, as a kid, you don't realize like all the marketing and things that are going into that. And then you get older and you're like, wow, man, they really had me.
Yeah, they really did. Like I got all 32 of those. But I loved that. And I love development of character. Mm-hmm. And so it's always interesting to me to have something with series, because then it's like we get a chance to get to know the character more and get to know somebody else and how they engage with that. I've always appreciated that.
Yeah.
About a story, because I also love getting to know people. So it's like people, story, all of that together is kind of the running thread of my life, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I so relate to all that. Except the books for me, I was always the one who was like, I'm not really into like, you know, these stories that you have to read a lot. I was more into like, hey, I want the Peanuts comic strip books.
I like those too. You know,
yeah, it was all like the visual stuff. And I gravitated more towards TV and movies. That was my story intake for the most part. But yeah, I understand that desire to connect with somebody over their story, over finding out, you know, the characters of a story and what happens and how someone, you know, it's very popular for us to talk about the hero's journey today. You know, a lot more people know about what that is, of this hero going out and becoming the person that they need to become, and how that development takes place.
Yes.
And how we see that reflected in our own lives and our own experiences.
That's right. Yeah, so good.
Is there a place where today, you know, you're writing books, you're speaking, you have courses. It's all centered around entrepreneurship, right?
Yes.
Is there a place then how you help other people figure out their story and figure out how that, you know, gets contextualized to their business?
Yeah. So that's not my vein. I mean, I certainly model that through what I do, but that's not what we teach entrepreneurs, you know, implicitly.
Sure.
But I think it's really important. Like I love like Donald Miller's book, about story, building a story brand. And so I recommend that book pretty frequently. And whenever anyone asks me for input on, you know, that sales page they put together or whatever, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, where's the story here? Where's the story that connects with someone? So I would say on a one-on-one basis and from a referring people to other resources, I definitely do that, but I don't directly teach that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it's super, super valuable.
Yeah. Well, and because I think so many times, you know, I was just listening to a podcast the other day and someone was talking about how we can fall into talking about ourselves way too much and giving facts and giving information. And we think that that's what we're supposed to do. The bullet points of here are the features and here are the highlights of
things.
And we don't engage with the story. We don't package it in such a way that someone can receive it.
That's right.
Really, truly understand and then engage back.
That's right. See themselves, see right. Someone they know, see some, you know, something like that. It really does make a difference. It really does, because there should be some kind of impact. You've got to connect with people so they can see themselves in the midst of whatever that product or service is.
Yeah.
So I think that's been super valuable, as well as telling other people's stories. Like, that's why I love the, testimonials. You know, a lot of times having other people share, like we had this mentoring program and I like to highlight their stories. So sure, I could tell mine and that's interesting. But what's even more interesting is hearing the variety of stories of the people who have gone through something and what the impact's been for them. And so that because when you hear those stories, that's why I love podcasting too, because when you hear other people's stories, you may not hear yourself in that story, but you really resonate with this one. You know, oh, that was really good, but it didn't really like hit me here. But this one, man, like that's me. And I think that's the beauty of kind of gathering and sharing stories as much as possible, not just yours, but others as well, especially as a business owner, those who are impacted by the things that you do.
Yeah. And that's totally why I do this too, right? The podcasts give me the ability to sit with people and find out their story, find out their experiences, because I know that it's been really instrumental in my life, where especially earlier on when you're trying to find your path and you know that there's something happening, you know that there's a desire in you to move forward and to build something and to create this life that you want, but you're really not sure how to go about it. You're really not sure. And it can feel like you're very alone.
Yeah.
And that your problems and the struggles that you have are unique to yourself. And when you start to listen to other people, you realize, no, actually, there are a lot of other people who either have dealt with that or are dealing with
yes.
it. And then they start to talk about their experiences, and then you get insights. And then
you feel
a sense of community, and you are drawn towards somebody and their story because you're like, that resonates with me.
That's right. And sometimes it's like hope. Like I just got hope because someone was on the other side. Like the person who tells the breakthrough on the other side, it's like, oh, well, there is hope, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And it gives you this sense of like, okay, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
It's going to be okay because someone else has been there and they're holding out that hand for me of hope.
Yes.
And that's why I try to be, you know, not just in this context of a podcast, but really just in life, I try to live open-handedly like that. And even with the things that I've been through in my life where I'm like, I don't quite understand how this fits into the greater story. It seems like this is a little jacked up. It's something that maybe I wouldn't really have chosen.
Right.
It's maybe a darker part of my story. I always try to just approach that to be like, you know what? It is part of the story though. And if I can lean into that and redeem that for somebody else's purpose, to help them, to show them like, yes, this is what I've been through. It's not all the highlight reel on Instagram or where else, you know, but it's really getting to the point where you can redeem those parts of your story where you're like, I don't know. I don't know what that meant really. I don't know I don't see it yet, even for myself fully, but I know that I can use it to help other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. When I think about this from a business context, especially so someone like me, who's helping people in business, there's so much like marketing hype and smoke and mirrors, you know, with people who are like, hey, you know, we help you grow your business. And they'll only share like, oh, these were all their breakthrough moments, but they don't necessarily share, you know, the journey along the way. And one of the beautiful parts of the work that I get to do is that by sharing along the way, like you can go back. I've been podcasting for almost seven years. And you can go back to the beginning and you'd see the hard stuff, you know, you could like, so someone who shows up now, who's like, wow, Shay, look, wow, look what God's done. Look, you're speaking on all these stages and you've sold all these books and all of that stuff. And I'm like, you want to know, like, what about the 2.5 years? Like when I had to sell my personal residence and my family had to figure out where we were going to live. Like the, all of those things, I didn't hide those things and then show up at the end and be like, there's no end, by the way. But like, there's, you know, I didn't show up and just be like, oh, let me tell you about my 10,000 hours of expertise. And let me tell you about this, that, that, and the other. It's like, no, no, no. I was talking about this whole thing the whole time, you know? So even in the hard stuff, because there was always goodness and redemption, even in the hard stuff. And so I could share that along the way. And I'm always encouraging other people to do that, because the authenticity of that is so powerful in other people's lives. Like if you think about, I'm like, I think it's selfish to hold that stuff back, like until you feel like you've reached some pinnacle of success, whatever that looks like for you. And then be like, oh, well, let me tell you about 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, there's just, there's something about this. Like, so that whole time, no one got a sense for, you know, what you worked through, what you overcome. You only show up at the end. How many more people could have been blessed by the fullness of your story along the way, as opposed to waiting 10 years down the line and then saying, oh, let me tell you about the last 10 years, right. You know? Yeah. So I think it's really important for us to share. Obviously, you know, you discern there's certain things that you don't need to share, and there's certain people that you don't need to share certain things with. I mean, I think there's wisdom in how you approach things and working through certain things on your own to get to a point of healthy communication around things. But generally speaking, I think it's just really helpful for us to, it's a really healthy way of expression, and it also helps other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something about, I think, the sacrifice that people don't really quite want to engage with that part of it. You know, it's the, I want the glory, but I don't want the sacrifice.
Right, right. And if they only get the end of the story, then they never knew what all the sacrifices were in the midst of that, right?
Exactly.
And so you get this, and that's why we get that weird mentality, like, oh, if in the next 90 days, I'm gonna hit six figures in the next, you know, it just gets crazy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of, you know, expectations that are set unrealistic, and then you're disappointed because you fell for the lie of the smoke and mirrors and didn't have insight into all the stuff that was underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what does it look like for you to have an idea and to carry that out to execution? Like you have this great inspiration and you know, okay, this is validated. I want to move forward on this. What does that then look like for you?
Okay, so first of all, I don't always know that it's validated. So there's that. So depending, like for a product, like I've got, you know, I may not know. But for my writing, like for example, with a book, I don't look for anyone's validation when I write a book. When I have an inspired idea for a book, I believe I'm supposed to write it. And so I don't look for external validation as far as a book is concerned. And when I do the films, it's these short films, I've been doing the same thing because it's not about the profit generation aspect. It's about the releasing of a story, period. You know? So what I start with is I just write out what the idea is. And then I ask God, I say, what is the breakthrough? Like, what's the outcome for the person on the other side of this? Like, what's your heart for those who will be reading this, watching this, you know, engaging with whatever it is? Because I want to have that heart, because I want to come from that place in what I create. And so I start with that point and I write that out. And I just kind of like take notes. I like develop, cultivate the idea, write notes out about what that looks like before I just kind of go in all gangbusters. And I start there. So a lot of times it starts with just some journaling of a series of thoughts, you know, and then I end up to a place where I'm like, okay, it's time to go. I'm talking about a book right now. Time for me to go on this thing. So I'm writing out what I believe will be the things that are in this book. And then I just start writing. And I don't write like in the order of a table of contents. I write whatever I'm feeling compelled to do in that moment. I just write that. And I don't worry about all the other details. I let those things come together at the end. You know, so that's how I do it on the book side. When I was doing film, there was a lot more logistics involved in doing that. Cause you know, so for me, there was so much more planning. So I'm writing out my thoughts and what I think it should look like, but I'm also getting with people who are have expertise in this area. Even though I know how to tell a story, I did not have expertise in expressing that story on film. So I want to get with people who know how to do that and collaborate, right? And have conversations so that they can help to refine the vision that I see, you know? So get with the people who have the wisdom, the experience, the knowledge in those areas, and then, you know, kind of work through it that way. That's what I did with film. And so as those pieces came together, it was like, all right, it's time to go. It's either time to write, time to film, you know, whatever it looks like. But it always starts with me with what is it for the person who's going to be consuming this? And what is the point of transformation for them? What's on your heart concerning those people so that I can meet them right where they are?
I love that there's a sense of connectedness centered around all the things that you just described. You know, it's this connectedness with yourself, this connectedness with God, this connectedness with other people, and knowing that there's this purpose in this work that you're doing.
Right.
And part of you is even discovering that as you're creating it. It's not like it's prepackaged, you know, you've got it. And then it's just a matter of, oh, okay, you know, like opening up the IKEA instructions and putting together the thing, you know, it's right. Not that it's more of a dance.
And, yeah, it really is. Yeah. And I love the dance. I love that aspect of it. And it was just kind of funny because my background, like I was a programmer, I was a computer scientist. Mm-hmm. So I have like this really logical, analytical, get all the details, make everything make sense aspect of me. And then I also had this beautiful, just like I can flow, just want to create, like, and those things come together in some wacky kind of awesome way.
Yeah. And that's the awesome thing, right? Is that when you learn how to harness those things for your process, you're not fighting against yourself.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So good. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So it's like with every project I grow too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so you've written several books, you said, right? You have courses, you speak. Yep. What else does your business look like today?
So right now, so everything we do is like inspire, teach, and mentor. So on the inspire side, that's our media. So that's our podcast. That's the short films we do. Then we have the teach side. So that's like our books, our devotionals, you know, our courses, if I didn't say that already, we have those things. And then the mentor, we have our mentoring program and community. So those are kind of the pieces. And then we also have a certification program. That's kind of a niche thing that we do, but we do have a certification program where we're certifying people who are business coaches, consultants, advisors, and strategists, and helping them to do their business, to conduct their business in a, you know, in a particular principled way, and how to engage their clients in that way. So we're kind of solving a problem in our own community by certifying people that we can refer our community to help them to grow and to start their businesses. And so, so that's kind of what we look like right now.
Love that.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that it must have taken you some time to arrive to figure out what does that look like and how does that function together, right?
Yeah. So we'll celebrate 8 years in November, right? Mm. And the first year had no idea like what I was doing. The second year had a slight idea. Like people could ask me, Shay, how are you monetizing this business? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out. Like, I'm just like serving people and figuring this thing out as I go. It took a good year and a half before there was even a level of clarity that was like, okay, here's how I believe we're really supposed to serve. It took a year and a half just to get to the basic step one of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And so it took a while for some, I mean, many people, if people thought I should only continue going because this thing is wildly profitable, they would have stopped a lot. They would have stopped a long time ago. I would have stopped a long time ago. It took time. It took time to get clarity around it. But in the midst of it all, I was always serving and then figuring things out as we go along. And then over time, pieces started to make sense. And then after that, as the pieces made sense, then we were able to implement those things. And then revenue grew. Then we could grow our team. Then revenue grows even more, that type of thing. But man, no, it was not like a, that's, it's a dance too. This business thing for me has been a dance in general, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people quit before they hit a point of a level of clarity enough to say, here we go. You know, this is the sweet spot and allowing growth from there. A lot of people quit before that happens.
Yeah. And especially like when I'm speaking to people who are, you know, in the creative space, a lot of artists, that's not really taught. You know, I didn't learn business, you know, things in art school. It was all about your craft. It was all about, you know, your methodology.
Yes.
And then realizing, okay, I'm going and working for other people. I don't necessarily need that, but get to this point where I'm like, now, you know what? I want to go out on my own. I want to do my own thing. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's a whole other world of stuff. Yeah. And it was only by, and it was harkening back to something you said before, you know, earlier, was surrounding myself with people who were doing those things, who understood those things, people I could learn from, who could speak into my journey and help me contextualize.
That's right.
You know, because yeah, there are business principles that are, you know, regardless of whatever your business is, but then there are also nuanced things.
Lots of nuance.
Yes. And figuring that out and a lot of failing and getting back up and pivoting and, you know, all that. And all I think that, again, it's people I don't think realize the amount of effort and energy and sweat equity that goes into that. Because when you're not doing it, you just don't know.
Right. That's right. And if people are only showing you the outcome on the other side of that, then you don't have any sense of reality whatsoever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I think it's so important to share.
It's the weird thing of like, you know, you don't want to be like the dream squasher, but at the same time, you want to, you know, I think you have to have that blend of like, I want to inspire and I want to help people with their dreams. And at the same time, I want to be practical and actionable and realistic so that people don't enter into this with this mindset thinking that everything's just going to be great and up and to the right constantly. And, you know, No failures.
And the thing, but if we value the process and value the journey, that's why I shifted, like I've shifted all of my language. Like I talk about how business is, it's like an adventure. Life really is a whole adventure. I'm like, it's a wild and crazy and amazing adventure. And when I shifted my mindset about that, because, you know, as I used to be very achievement performance driven person, you know, growing up. And when I shifted to really understand the value of the process, that changed everything. So that helps me go into a situation in any project or any new thing or whatever with the mindset that there's a process here, but in the midst of the process, whatever the process may be, wherever it leads, however it goes, there's a richness in that all by itself. So I have to become whatever I need to become for the next thing. I need to learn. I need to work things out, you know, and there's value in that. And that's value for the next thing. That's value for other people. There's value for the next thing that you do. And so I don't despise that anymore. And I think when you get to the point where you can really just really embrace it, not just lip service, say you embrace it, but like seriously embrace it, it helps you to continue to have peace joy, you know, all those things in the midst of, you know, it not going exactly the way you anticipated or in the timing in which you would have hoped. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It's an anchor to understand that the process is meaningful and valuable and rich all by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Such wisdom there. And I think, you know, when people can start to engage with themselves in that way, and, you know, your book, Grace Over Grind, right?
Yeah.
Even just that title. I mean, the sense of allowing yourself the freedom and to not be so rigid in your expectations and in your methodology and in your, you know, it's having this place where you're like, no, I'm going to do the best that I can do. And what I know to do right now, continue to learn and adapt and apply.
Yes.
And give myself the grace that, you know what, maybe it's longer than I thought it was going to be. And I'm not where I thought I would be when I started this yet, but that you are on that journey. Like you said, that That's adventure, right. You know, it goes That's back right. to Atari again. See it, the adventure game.
I'm telling you, this is why I love video games. I yes. love the story behind the video games. I love that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Such good stuff. So what are the things now that you're looking at that you're like, here's something that I haven't done yet that I would love to do?
Oh, easy. Write a fiction book. So as an adult, I wrote plenty of fiction as a child, but one book that I really, really liked, and it was the first time that I saw a fiction, like a story being told, but it was a nonfiction book, was called The Go-Giver. It's by Bob Berg and John David Mann. And it's a business book. It's a book talking to business people, but it was telling a story and they were teaching from story. And when I read it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Cause I love writing. I love to teach, but I love to tell stories. And I love the way they did that. So I started reading like a series of, like, they call them like parable books, you know, almost mm-hmm. like yep. it's just storytelling, but teaching in the midst of it. And I'm like, I'm totally writing one of those. So I want to write a book for entrepreneurs that storytelling and teaching in the vein of what I teach. And then I also want to do just like a pure fiction book. So those are two things that are on my wish list. I have not started either of them, but I have started at least writing down thoughts mm-hmm. around them. But those are projects that, you know, will probably take me a minute to get through. I also need to learn. I want to learn if I'm going to, just like with the film, there was things for me to learn with this. Like when you're writing a fiction book, all my books have been nonfiction. So the parable book is not too much of a stretch for me, but a pure fiction book is a stretch. As much as I love to tell stories, when you're writing a fiction book, there's science and art. And yeah. so I need to learn the science aspect of it. Right. And so those are just pieces. I saw Judy Blume is like teaching writing on some platform or something. It showed up in one of my Facebook in my face. I'm like, I need to take Judy Blume's course on yeah. writing fiction. You know, learn something about that, you know, those elements of writing that I haven't really concerned myself with in yeah. the type of storytelling that I've done to date.
Yeah. So do you just dive in and then figure it out as you go? Is that like the process there?
Yeah, I don't always do that, but with these types of things, the first thing I say to myself is, okay, what would be a really good idea? So if I was writing for not the fiction book yet, but like the parable business book, well, what would I think is a really great story to tell? Wow. Well, I would really like to illustrate some of the things in my other books that I already teach, but illustrate it from story. So just kind of start with an idea and it's like, all right, I think that would be kind of interesting and just kind of start there. So it's a little bit of like analytical, putting some pieces together of what I think would be the steps in the process, but then just allowing it to flow from there.
Yeah.
I yeah. combine all those parts of my personality mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important to know yourself in that regard, yes. right? Like I know that I don't do well with information that I don't see is readily applicable in the moment, right? That's why like traditional schooling, I was like, all right, whatever, but I'm kind of done. But and I never really would have, when I was younger, I never really would have pegged myself as someone who'd say I'm a lifelong learner. But the older I've gotten and the more experiences I've had, the more I realize, no, that actually is very true.
Yes.
And it's based around the things that are happening in my life so that there are application points that are ready.
Yeah.
So for instance, like I self-published a couple of books through Amazon, and this whole thought of like, okay, well, I'm illustrating these books and I want to publish them, and but I don't know anything about publishing. And there's a whole barrier for what I wanted to do on that traditional publishing side. So yes. I was like, let me just look at self-publishing. So I started digging around and just asking a lot of questions, getting around people mm-hmm. who've done it, all that kind of stuff. And then going, okay, read the stuff of how do you actually publish something on Amazon? They have their step-by-step yes. and going, I'm going to get in there and figure it out. And I may that's not get right. it right on the first try, but that's okay.
That's right. There's so much great information out there. There's people yeah. who can help. There's like, it's like, just yeah. do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Exactly. Sponsored by. Yeah. And that's how you learn and you grow. And
that's right.
And then you go, okay, last time I did this, here were some things that I learned that I know this time going in, I need to pay closer attention to or not do those things.
That's right.
Because I have the experience now.
Yes. It's not going to be perfect the first time around. If I had to wait for things to be perfect before I did it, I still wouldn't have created anything. I wouldn't have created a course. It would have taken yeah. me 7 years to create my first course. You know, it would have taken, you know, probably 10 years to write the first book. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. it's just getting started. And I remember sometimes I would look at a book, like sometimes because I've grown so much as a writer, I look back at other books and I'm like, you know, like I want to rewrite that, or I don't want anyone to read it because yeah. I've grown. And I'm telling you, I've just been so corrected in that mindset. It's like, just enjoy the process, because people are blessed in the midst of all the process anyway. It's not yeah. like it was a mess. It was not like it was a train wreck or anything.
Right.
It was good. It just gets better, you know? And so just embracing that, not looking backwards and, you know, none of that, just allowing that. That was a part of my development, is to yeah. not despise after growth, despising what's out there mm-hmm. that was in the earlier stages.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. And, you know, it's when people see that they can see more of your fuller story too.
That's right.
And they know that you didn't come out of the gate perfect and yes. polished, but right. you floundered around a lot and actually did that in public, and you know, and you're okay with that, because it's
everything should get better. Like every project, as we yeah. just continue to grow, it just gets better. It doesn't mean it was awful. No, it was good. I mean, sometimes right. we do stuff and it's not great. And if stuff that's not great, I don't release those things, but I'm like, if it's good, yeah. it's good. It's yeah. my good for right now, yeah. you know? And it just gets better over time.
And going back and tinkering doesn't really work well. We've learned this from George Lucas, right? Like, you know, like really, dude, did you have to go back in and change those things? How many times now? Like the original Star Wars trilogy was fine. We all loved it.
Yeah.
I get that it wasn't up to your, you know, artistic vision at the time.
Right. Maybe, but like, leave it alone.
Leave it alone. You know, Han shot first, you know, like, yes. come on.
Yes, yes, exactly that. Just keep going, keep progressing yeah. and just honor the journey along the way.
Love it. Oh, this has been so much fun. So I have one last question for you.
Sure.
What is one piece of advice that you would give to somebody today that's been really helpful for you in your own business and creativity?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on what we just talked about, which is just be willing to start. Don't worry about its perfection. Don't worry about, you know, all the details. Just get started, because there's so much power in momentum that, yes. you know, it's like you can't course correct a parked car. Like, you know, you've got to move in order to grow. And so no matter where you are, if it's like something that just seems a little bit overwhelming, it seemed overwhelming to me to do a film. You know, it seems overwhelming. Everything I do for the first time, it feels overwhelming to do. But you just start and build from the momentum from there. And you'll turn around a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year later and be like, wow, you know, what a process in the midst of that. But you'll actually see something birthed, see something created. And there's so much value in that for you and for the world. So,
yeah, absolutely. Wise words for sure. Loved it. Loved it. I love this conversation.
I loved it. I was only missing my chai tea latte during our chat. Like exactly. that would be the only thing that would have just made this perfection for me. Yes. If I had my chai tea latte, man, this was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love when I get to come alongside people who are wired similar to me and we just get it. There's that connection immediately. So amazing. Thank you so much for this time today. And I know that your story and the insights that you share today are really going to help people on their journey and push further into the things that they feel called to do. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.